This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings this morning. Welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. And if you would like to contact me again, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. Remember, this radio program is on the website and can be re-listened to there. It can be downloaded from there. And I have a weekly meditation there that you might find helpful as well. So if you'd like the regular mailing address to make comments or prayer requests, or if you'd like my website address, you can contact me also through that website with prayer requests and comments. If you'd like that, let me know. I'll give you the address at the close of the program, and you can let me know what your comments are. Now, again, today we're going to look at David. We've been looking at some of the Old Testament people who were prominent and who teach us a lot about our relationship with God. I realize this is Father's Day. At least this program will be heard on Father's Day. And while the program is not really going to be a Father's Day program, I do want to thank all the fathers out there who listen and who take their fathering responsibilities seriously. That means that they love their wives and that they love their children and that they provide for them to the best of their ability. And so we're glad for every good father. We're thankful for families who love fathers. We believe that families and the family unit is an important social part of an important part of our social structure. And we believe that fathers should be the key to keeping a family together. So David himself was probably not a good father. We know that if we go through his history, we find out that he was not willing to control his children. He was not willing to control Absalom. He was not willing to control Amnon, who had raped Absalom's sister. He had issues himself with being a good role model in the sins that he committed. And I've mentioned before that we often remember David's sins, but the Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart. And so there was a tender relationship with the Lord there that we need to remember as well. And because of his trust in the Lord, he goes down as a model worshiper of Jehovah. He built the temple, or he didn't build the temple, but he provided for the building of the temple. He got the instructions from God the same way Moses did, and he committed those instructions to Solomon. And he is called the sweet psalmist of Israel. He sang a lot. He was a shepherd, and we've talked about that. And today I want to come back to this matter of him being a shepherd, because probably one of the ways that we remember David the best is through Psalm 23. And I just want to read Psalm 23 with you right now. Verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." That means the Lord is my shepherd, and because of that, I will not lack. A shepherd takes care of his sheep. And so he begins to explain how a shepherd takes care of his sheep. And remember, David is writing from experience. "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil." Now that has to do with his being anointed as king of Israel. Samuel did that. "You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. That is, my blessings are insurmountable." And then he says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of this psalm. Many of you have this psalm memorized. And I remember years ago having a preacher speak on this psalm, and he told us that he thought the psalm was written while David was young. I had always thought that a psalm like this would be a psalm of experience, where the psalmist would know in an experiential way, the shepherding hand of God. And I thought it would be written when he was old. But you know, we who preach are not always right. And as I've studied the psalm over the years, I believe my friend who spoke on this had the right idea. I believe this psalm was actually written after David slew Goliath. And I'll show you why I believe that. I believe what we are looking at is a psalm of victory. If you go back into the story, 1 Samuel 17, you'll remember that David left his sheep, the sheep that he had been taking care of in the hands of a keeper, and went to see how his brothers were doing in this fight against the Philistines, which Saul was supposedly leading. And you'll remember in that story, all our Sunday school children remember, that there's a man by the name of Goliath, a champion of the Philistines, who comes out every day and taunts the children of Israel and basically says, "Send me a man. Any man that can beat me will be victor over the Philistines." And of course, it doesn't really work that way, but it is nice when the leaders who are inciting war are willing to fight that war. Now, Saul, the man of war, the king of Israel, should have been the one to take on this Philistine. The Philistine speaks to us in a spiritual way of an enemy that we all have. It's the enemy of the flesh. And the flesh is simply those self-willed desires that we have by nature. Philistines were uncircumcised. Now, to be uncircumcised wasn't obvious, but we know that was their culture. Where the Israelites were circumcised, and circumcision always speaks of the cutting off of the flesh or the fleshly desires. And the Philistines modeled the flesh, and this Philistine was a tall fella. He probably was over 9 feet tall, and if you study the armor that he had, it was heavy armor. Who could possibly beat this Philistine in a one-on-one battle? David looks at the Philistine, and he comes and he talks to his brothers about it, and you'll remember the story, how that he says, "Look, this man is defying the armies of the living God. God will beat this, will fight this battle for us." And he says, "I'll take him on." And so his brothers originally sort of belittle him and tell him that he's just trying to get involved in something that's not his business, basically. But he says, "No, I can take him on and I can win." And of course, Saul then is going to arm him the way Saul himself would have been armed, with his armor and with his spear and his sword, but they didn't fit David. David was a shepherd, and shepherds had learned to take care of their sheep with a sling and with a stone and with a staff and with a rod. He knew nothing at this point about the armor that Saul was used to. And so he tried the armor, and he says, "I can't use this stuff," to put it off. And he picks up 5 smooth stones out of the brook and goes out and meets Goliath. Now, those 5 smooth stones, most of the time we look at them as being one for using the first one and hoping that he didn't miss, but if he did miss, having 4 backups. But I don't think that was true. As we go on, we find out that this man, Goliath, had 4 big brothers or cousins or something. They were relatives, and David was aware that in a big family, if one person is attacked, the others get involved in the attack. And so he had 5 small stones, and his faith was such that he was quite convinced that he could not only beat Goliath, but if Goliath's brothers took him on, he had 4 stones for them as well. And we all know the story, how Goliath was struck in his forehead by the stone that David threw from the sling that he had learned to use as a shepherd, and Goliath was slain. And now think of that, because where did that battle take place? It took place in a valley, the Valley of Elah. And walking away now from that battle, this particular psalm, I believe, is a psalm of victory. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he talks about how the Lord takes care of him. But notice when he comes down to verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And I know that we read that at funerals and talk about the valley of the shadow of death being the actual article of death, and perhaps that application can be made, because obviously David is giving us a psalm of comfort here. But in its interpretation, I believe the valley of the shadow of death is the valley of Elah, where the Philistines were on one side and the Israelites were on the other, and the champion, this enemy, was coming down through the valley with an intent of destroying the children of Israel. And David met the giant in the valley of Elah. And so that would be a place of danger, a place where people would assume no victory could be achieved in this life. And yet the victory was achieved because of David's confidence in God and his willingness to defend the honor of God. And I trust that in this program, that's what we're doing, that we are biblically defending the honor of God, that we understand that we're all sinners in need of a Savior, but that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and he was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. The Lord Jesus is God made known in the flesh, and he offers salvation to us. He's the one who on the cross also went down into the valley, figuratively the valley of Elah, and for three dark hours he suffered for our sins, but he came out victorious because we know that he was doing the will of God, and he was providing for a salvation that had been pre-planned before Adam and Eve ever sinned. And so we see that the enemy can be destroyed through faith. And we can take courage that the Valley of Elah may actually be the day we die, but the Valley of Elah can be our experience in life when we're younger. But if we're like David and have walked with the Lord and seen his glory in the skies as a shepherd at night, has seen his glory during the day, has taken care of the sheep, and is absolutely confident that the Lord will take care of him the way he has taken care of his sheep, then that victory can be ours when we meet the enemy in this life, whether young or whether we are old. And you'll notice that David doesn't talk in hope so language in this psalm. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And he may be talking about dwelling physically in the house of the Lord, but I don't think so, because he never was able to actually build the temple. He's talking about a spiritual thing, and he's going to enjoy the presence of the Lord forever. And that's the portion of everyone who is truly saved. There may be a valley of Elah. There may be a valley of the shadow of death for us, but because of our faith in Christ, we can be victorious. And so take courage today. We have the Lord. If we're saved, we have the Lord as our shepherd as well. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless our lesson. Bless those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love, and just pray for any needs that are present in our audience as we give thanks in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.